Good morning, church. Truly, it is an honor and a blessing to be with you here at the Preston Road Church of Christ on this Sunday morning. I'm appreciative for the invitation to just be a part of this worship experience and appreciate the hospitality. And it's good just to be among the body of Christ and the saints of God. If you would, meet me in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We will be looking at verses 23 through 28. John chapter 12, verses 23 through 28. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now, my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven. "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." There are some things in life that are simply inescapable. And so this morning, if you are taking notes and you like to title notes and sermons, this sermon is called Inescapable. What would you do if you knew when you would die, where you would die, and how you would die? Would you go into a deep depression? Would you live it up as much as you could, knowing that your time was limited, and so all those things you've been putting off, you would decide, "I'm going to do this before I die"? What would you do? Would you be like Hezekiah and ask God for more time? Would you be like Ahab, who disguised himself, and in the process of disguising himself, trying to avoid death, he ended up dying anyway? What would you do if you knew when and where and how you would die? Would you leave the country, try to go hide out somewhere, hoping that somehow, some way, you could change your fate? What would you do? What would you do if you knew when, where, and how you would die, but also knowing that the reason that you were born was so that you could die? What would you do knowing when, where, how you were to die, knowing that the reason that you were born was so that you could die, and yet have the power to change your destiny? If you had the ability to change what you knew was going to happen, would you? I think most of us, if we could somehow change history, if we could change the inevitable, if we could ensure that we would not die, we would choose life over death. However, there's one caveat. If you don't die, everyone you love does die. Now that changes the decision that we have to make. And this was the reality that Jesus faced. He knew when he would die. If you look at Scripture, there are times when the Jewish religious leaders attempted to arrest Jesus, and they attempted to trap Jesus, and they wanted to capture him, but his time had not yet come. And so Jesus would elude their capture. He would escape. But in this particular event, at this particular Passover season, Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He knew his death was near. He knew his resurrection and exaltation back to heaven. That time had come. So his death would be the supreme manifestation of his life glorifying God. He knew when he would die. He also knew where he would die. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21, reveals that Jesus shared with his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem to be killed. So if you're like me, you would think if I knew I had to die in Jerusalem, I just wouldn't go to Jerusalem. But Jesus went to Jerusalem. He knew when he would die. He knew where he would die. He also knew how he would die. He knew the agony that he would have to experience. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." This he said, indicating the type of death that he would experience. He knew that he would be crucified, and he knew what that meant. He knew the agony that he would experience. One, from just being around Roman crucifixion, but two, knowing the scriptures and knowing that he is the suffering servant, he is the Messiah, knowing that he has to fulfill all of those prophecies. So Jesus knew that his beard would be ripped from his face. He knew that his flesh would be torn by whips. He knew that his face would be unrecognizable. He knew that when people looked upon him, they would want to turn the other way because there would be nothing aesthetically pleasing about his appearance. He knew that thorns would be pressed into his head. He knew that nails would be driven through his wrists and his ankles. He would face a type of pain that was so unique that they had to invent a word for it. The word excruciating means out of the cross. So Jesus knew, and yet he chooses to die anyway. His hour had come. He came to earth to die. He was born to die, but he didn't die as soon as he was born. At the age of 30, he began his ministry, and he was to die at the age of 33. So think about this. When he was born, he had decades. And as the decades went by, decades became years. And as the years rolled on, years became months. And as the months ticked away, months became weeks. And as those weeks flew by, weeks became days. And as the sun continued to set and rise, now those days are down to hours. So, in those final hours, before his arrest, before his unfair trial, and before his execution, Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus, the Son of God, faces a moment where the very core of his being is troubled. It is distressed and disturbed. He is experiencing mental and emotional anguish. There's inner turmoil within him. His soul is troubled. And Jesus knew what to do when his soul was troubled. And his example to us reminds us of what to do when our soul is troubled. In the midst of his distress, Jesus prayed. He did not turn from God in his distress, in his trouble. He turned to God. Why? Because God specializes in calming troubled souls. Whenever you are troubled, when there is an uneasiness and an unrest in your soul, that's the time to pray. That's the time to turn to God, because God's peace is perfect. His love is unfailing, his grace is sufficient, and his comfort is sure. So we can pray to God, knowing that God is able to provide us with what we need in that moment. Jesus knew what to do. He also knew what to ask. It's as if Jesus is saying, I feel what I feel, but I also know what I know. See, what I feel is distress. What I feel is a trouble deep within my soul. What I feel is that I want this cup to pass from me. What I feel is that I want to ask my Heavenly Father, is there another way? Can you do something different? I want to ask God to deliver me from this. I feel the way I feel. And based on how I feel, I could say, Father, save me from this hour. But I also know what I know. I know that it's for this purpose that I've come to this hour. I know that I was born to die. I know that I left the portals of heaven and adorned flesh in order to redeem humanity. So I know that I cannot ask you, Father, to deliver me from this hour, since this hour is the essence of my purpose. I know that I don't want to face the cross. But I know that if I don't face it, the world cannot be saved. I know that I cannot escape the very mission that you have given me. And so, since I cannot escape it, I'm going to embrace it. So I say, Father, glorify your name. Since I cannot avoid it, God, you may as well get glory from it. Jesus was to complete his purpose. He was to complete his mission on earth, which was to glorify God by doing exactly what God wanted. Christ's obedience brought glory to God. And when we obey, we are glorifying the name of the Lord. God was also glorified when humanity saw the love of God in the cross. God gave his only Son to die for us so that we could have everlasting life. And this truth has caused countless people to bow down and surrender to God. The name of the Lord was glorified by the cross. Jesus understood his purpose. He was born to die like a grain of wheat that dies when it's planted, yet it produces much additional fruit. So Jesus had to die, and as a result of his death, life came to all of humanity. His purpose was to save us from our sins. We've all sinned, and the justice of God says that sin must be punished. We, like God, we just don't believe that it's right for people to do wrong and not have to suffer a consequence for the wrong. So God could not just ignore our sins. God's justice demands punishment, but God's grace and mercy desire to deliver us. And so Jesus came as a sacrifice in order to satisfy the righteous demands of God's law, but also to provide a way for us to experience peace with God. Now, Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." Jesus could not run from his purpose, so he asked God to be glorified in his purpose. What Jesus did when he faced the cross is an example for us today. There are times when we feel what we feel, but we also know what we know. There are times when we want to escape the very thing to which we have been called. Some of us would like to escape our responsibilities. You know, this whole adulting thing is hard. But the truth is, we cannot escape the very purpose to which we have been called. And so our attitude should be, since it is inescapable, then I may as well glorify God in it. There are some things that we cannot ask God to remove, so we must embrace them, even when our soul is troubled. When we cannot escape, that's the time to ask God to strengthen us for the task at hand. We cannot escape what we have been called to endure. There are times it would be easier to quit, but God has called us to endure. God has called us to persevere. We cannot escape our call to be a child of God. Just can't escape it. We cannot escape the call to love our enemies. You know, if I could take something out of the Bible, that might be the one verse I'd take out. But we cannot escape the call to love our enemies. We cannot escape the call to stand for justice, even when it's safer to remain silent. Evangelism may make us feel uncomfortable, but we cannot escape the Great Commission. So God, I know that what I want, my wishes, my desires, my personal views and opinion are different from what's in your word. So since I cannot ask you to change your word, Lord, I ask you to change me and create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Why? Because it's inescapable. There are some things we just cannot escape. Cannot escape the call to be a servant of the Lord. There are times when quitting would be easier, but we've been called to endure hardships. There are times when as ministers, we really want to go off on y'all. I mean, we really want to go off on people. But I can't say what I want to say and do what I want to do because God has called me to righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So since I can't escape it, Lord, glorify your name in it. You cannot escape the call to be a parent to your children. I know their homework has tested your elementary math skills and you no longer feel smarter than a fifth grader. I know that things were easier before they became teenagers. I know that you had not planned on them moving back into the house after they moved out. I know your children don't listen, and perhaps they've even gotten into some legal trouble that has cost you hours of sleep and thousands of dollars. But you've been called to disciple them. You've been called to show them the way of the Lord. And so, since I cannot check out as a parent, God, glorify your name. You cannot escape your call as a husband or a wife. Even though the two of you may have drifted apart, even though your spouse is not living up to your expectations, even though you have grown spiritually at a rate that is faster than they have, remember, when you vowed for better or for worse, unfortunately, you had no idea how bad worse would be. But you cannot escape God's call to be that loving husband, to be that caring wife. When your soul is troubled, what do you do? Especially when it's troubled because of what God has called you to. It's to this very thing God has called me. That's the time to pray. God, use my life to glorify your name. Father, since I cannot escape my purpose, help me to embrace my purpose. Father, since I cannot escape my calling, strengthen me for my calling. Glorify your name. And we have the confidence because God the Father, through his Son Jesus Christ, has already given us the victory. Satan has already been defeated. Death has been conquered. The victory over the grave is secure. And so we can walk in the victory that we already have. I cannot escape it. So Lord, get glory from it. Pray with me. To the God of heaven, we bow before you, realizing you've called us to some difficult things. You've called us to love others who don't like us. You've called us to be salt, to be light, to be holy. You've called us to be different from the world. Father, as we live in this life, sometimes we desire to run from our calling and run from our purpose. But Father, we bow before you, asking that you will strengthen us, that you will renew our zeal and our fervor, that you will glorify your name through our lives and help us to endure what we cannot escape. In Jesus' name, amen.